Good evening. So the scripture reading for this time comes from the book of 1 John, chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. John writes, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love comes from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. But the one who does not love does not know God. For God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested among us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we may live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Let us pray and ask the Lord's blessing on the reading of his word. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do praise you. We thank you for this time that you have given us. We thank you for an opportunity to come together to praise you, to worship you, to remember what you have done, to remember the sacrifice that Christ has made for us. And Lord, we invite the Holy Spirit to be among us, to work in us, and to use this time to grow us more and more into the image of your Son, whose precious name we pray. Amen. So as I was reflecting on Easter, as I was thinking about tonight, one of the things that I lamented was perhaps a lack of a stronger tradition or observance or celebration of the holiday in our country or in our culture. See, I'm one who likes tradition, right? I think tradition is good, because I'm one who needs it, right? You get so busy in life, there's so many things going on, that tradition helps you stop and remember those things that God has called us to remember. Tradition helps us observe those moments in time that God wants us to observe. And I personally need those kinds of things. Now, one tradition that we do have is the naming of Holy Week. Of course, the days of Holy Week have various names, but as last Sunday, we call Palm Sunday, named after the day that Christ rode into Jerusalem. There is Holy Wednesday, sometimes also called Spy Wednesday, for reasons I'm not quite clear on. Holy Thursday. And, of course, Easter, which we more, I think, appropriately call around here Resurrection Sunday. And then that brings us to today, that is called Good Friday. Now, I must confess that as a child, and probably even as an adult, I often wondered, why do we call it Good Friday? There are various things about this day that don't seem good. Right? Of course, today is the day we remember that Christ was crucified, that he died and was buried. And there are parts about that that just don't feel good. Right? So I took a look into it and did a little bit of research. And actually, the origins of the name are not very clear. Some believe that it comes from the German phrase, Gottes Freitag, which means God's Friday, and that somehow God's Friday became Good Friday. Others say, no, it really comes from the German Gutes Freitag, which does mean Good Friday. But then, of course, in other languages, they don't use the term Good Friday at all. In the Greek tradition, they use the phrase Holy and Great Friday. In many Romance languages, they just use Holy Friday. And actually, the modern German tradition is to use Karfreitag, which means Sorrowful Friday. So it brings us to the question as to why we call it Good Friday. And I'll leave you hanging there for a moment. We'll come back to that. But I also wanted to discuss just for a moment why we don't celebrate Easter more fully in our culture. And of course, one reason is that it tends to take a backseat to Christmas, right? Christmas is the holiday that we celebrate the most here in the U.S. and in many Western countries. And that's partly a cultural issue. Things like Dickens is a Christmas Carol, or the tradition of St. Nicholas, and of course, gift giving. Those things have raised up the view of Christmas in our culture, and of course the commercialism that surrounds it also does that. But I suspect it's a bit more theological than that. I suspect that at the heart of it, more people are comfortable celebrating Christmas because Christmas is, at least nominally, about Jesus' birthday. Right? I mean, forget the fact that we don't really know when Jesus' birthday was and that it was really just placed there for other reasons. But because it's about Jesus more generically, the holiday can be celebrated just thinking about love and goodwill and peace and positive things that many people could get behind. Whereas Easter, that's a different story. Easter is not about Jesus generically. It's about something very specific. It's about the resurrection, the crucifixion, the death, and the resurrection of Christ. Far fewer, of course, in our society want to even admit the efficacy or necessity or even historicity of that event, let alone wish to celebrate it. However, as Christians, we understand that this is actually a much more important day to celebrate than the date of Jesus' birth, which we don't even really know. Another reason for this lack of celebration, I think, of course, is the somberness of the event itself. As we have heard in the songs that we've sung tonight and some of the verses that we read, this is, of course, about Christ's crucifixion. And that was a very somber event. If you don't know much about crucifixion, one movie that might be helpful, although I would caution you that it can be a bit brutal, is The Passion of the Christ. See, crucifixion wasn't just execution, it was torture. It was literally death by torture. In fact, the word crux, the Latin word crux, which is the word for cross, it was not supposed to be used in polite society in Rome because it was such a horrific way of executing somebody. Further, Roman citizens in general were not permitted to be executed by crucifixion. It was too brutal. The Roman statesman Cicero wrote that the idea of a Roman citizen being crucified, he said, that's so horrible that there's no fitting word that can possibly describe so horrible a deed. Crucifixion was absolutely brutal. And of course, the third reason why we don't celebrate Easter, I think, in our society the way we celebrate Christmas, is that many don't quite understand the necessity or the reason behind the crucifixion. Right? They don't understand why it was necessary. If you yourself question the necessity of the crucifixion, you might just open a newspaper if people still do such things, or turn on the news if people still do such things. Or if you don't do that, check out a local news feed or Twitter or wherever it is that you get your news. And what you'll see, of course, is just utter depravity. People sending mail bombs to each other to maim and kill one another. Coaches or athletic trainers molesting children. People shooting kids at schools. Politicians having multiple affairs. Drug abuse, child abandonment, meth labs, gun violence. It goes on and on and on. And even in a society that can't admit that right and wrong exist, every once in a while, there's an event so horrific, so incredibly evil, that our nation will stand up and say, no, that is evil, that is wrong. And so I think, deep down, we all understand the pervasiveness of sin. And God agrees with us. He also takes this sin seriously. And God says it must be punished. There must be a reckoning. That sin cannot go on without there being punishment. Now, as Christians, we certainly stand up and agree with that. We say, yes, of course. Where it hits a little closer to home is when God says, well, not just out there, but here, in you, in me. Right? Because it's not just the horrific sins that offend God, but it's even the little sins, the sins that we commit every day, maybe even every hour. As Christ taught us, hate is just as serious as murder. Lust is just as serious as adultery. Sin must be taken seriously because God takes it seriously. And of course, that's why sins must be punished. And we all deserve a punishment. There must be a reckoning. There must be some form of atonement. Now, if you're saying, well, gee, Mike, you're not doing a whole lot to help me see the joy here. Well, that's because it is a bit depressing, a bit gloomy, when we do look at the pervasiveness of sin in our world. But the beauty of Easter, the beauty of even Good Friday, is that God is not one-dimensional. Yes, God is just. Yes, God is holy. Yes, God is righteous. But as we read in the passage at the beginning of this, God is multidimensional. What John, in his first letter, sometimes that letter is called the Book of Love. You know that the word love, specifically agape, is used 45 times in that letter. And at the heart of the passage that we just read is the idea that God is love. God is love. We only love because we are made in his image. See, just as light comes from the sun, originates from the sun, just as heat originates from fire, love originates from God. And although God is holy and righteous and just, he is also loving. And his righteousness and his justice said this sin must be punished, but his love said, but I will allow a way for that sin to be punished and you to be reconciled. So he came himself. His son came, as our pastor said, his only begotten son, his unique one and only son. In a way I can't comprehend, God himself came to earth and bore the brunt of our sins, was crucified that we may be made right. That is why today is Good Friday, because God has made it so. In one act, God's justice, holiness, and his love are on display. So how can we then celebrate this holiday? How do we celebrate this weekend? What is our response? Thankfulness? Sure. Sorrow for our sin? Sure. But John tells us very clearly the response God is looking for. He writes at the beginning of our passage, beloved, let us love one another. And again at the end of our passage, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. See, that was, again, at the heart of Jesus' message. He said, all that I'm teaching you, all that is in the prophets and in the law, comes down to one compound command. Love God and love your neighbor. If we wish to celebrate God's love for us, we should do that by loving one another. See, again, John writes in John's letter, it's not just that we are morally obliged to do so out of thankfulness, is that we ought to, that we should be, we have such a new nature that we, that is what we wish to do. Just as a fish ought to swim, just as a bird ought to fly, as Christians, we ought to love one another. See, when Christ died, through Christ's death, we can be not only be declared righteous, but through the Holy Spirit working in us, we can be made righteous. And all God asks from us is that we accept that simple gift, that we admit our sin and we accept that gift, and that Holy Spirit will work in us and we will not only be declared, but actually made righteous. So let us remember and mourn our sin. Let us celebrate what God has done for us. Let's celebrate his love for us, because this is indeed a Good Friday. Let us celebrate by loving one another.